It's good to be live. Abby here with you this evening. And many of you know the games that are happening in Paris. Super exciting that it's going on. But something even more exciting that we want to let you know about. We have four local athletes that get to be a part of the games, which it feels a little bit like, they're our local heroes. And we get the opportunity to chat with one of them. Tori West is with, not here in person with me, but Tori, I'm so glad to be able to chat with you today and talk a little bit about your journey and the excitement of where you get to be at today. How are you doing?
I'm well. I'm in France. I'm just going for a morning walk, and I'm very excited in my preparation.
So good. So before we jump into things, I guess, you know, being in France and getting ready already, what does that look like for you? Are you just getting there, or have you been over there training for a while now?
Yeah, I've been in Europe for about a month now.
Wow.
I did a training camp in Poland for about 4 weeks, and then I've come over to France last weekend, and I've got a Australian track and field staging camp here for 2 weeks, and then I head to the Games Village on the 6th of August.
Wow. So good. We're so excited for you. I was wondering if you could just share a little bit about your journey and how you became a hept athlete as well.
Yeah, sure. I compete in the heptathlon. The heptathlon, it comprises of 7 track and field events over 2 days. So I do the 100-meter hurdles, high jump, shot put, 200, long jump, javelin, 800. And it's always in the same order. And you get points based on how well you perform. So you have to do your best in every event, and the winner is the most points. It actually is the hardest event in track and field to qualify for. There's only 24 girls from around the world they take. And it actually was the original, you know, games event, right? So when it first started, it was like called a pentathlon. And, you know, back in the ancient Greek days, it was just like a multi-event. And so now I do the modern version of, track and field multi-event. Yeah, I got started. I grew up in Townsville. I grew up in Vincent on the street that was Wawrina. There's like a field there. It used to be a track and field club. And my dad took me down one day, and I sort of loved watching it. I was a little kid. I think I was like 3 turning 4. And dad signed me up. And I did it through school. I wasn't always super serious about it. Like, I did other sports like tennis and boxing and basketball. But I always had a bit of talent. I actually had a lot of talent. I was, you know, making state teams without training and just sort of, giving it a go. And then when I was 15, I was scouted out properly by a coach who said I had a really fast arm at Pimlico State High School. And yeah, from there, I won a national championship a year later. And, you know, I was also very good at high jump. So I had this weird mix of events that I was good at. And then it turned out I could do a heptathlon. Now, I didn't get into it straight away at high school. I actually was a little bit lost after high school, didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. And then when I was 21, I was like, you know, I actually think I want to do the heptathlon seriously. So I started quite late relative to most girls who do it. And so my career started properly then.
Did you ever have it in your mind or as a goal to be a part of the games?
Yeah, to be honest, no. Like, to me, like, obviously it's a huge deal going to the games, it's the pinnacle, but that's never really been my ultimate goal, I guess. Like, I have a different perspective on it, and that largely came from, I guess, my own life experiences, but also COVID, because I was very close to qualifying for Tokyo, and that was stripped away from me. You know, all those restrictions completely made it impossible. And because of that, I sort of realized it's not really that important. I mean, it's a big deal. And, you know, as a public and community, it's like we see it as something important, but there's much more important things in life. And now I just see it as an absolute privilege to do this. Yep. And as a kid, like, I never really, like, I used to watch a bit of the games, but it was never something that, you know, was my overarching goal in life, you know. It's just for me, it worked out that it happened, and I gave it my best, you know, effort to get here, and I have. And so now I just want to enjoy the experience and, you know, do my best. But as a kid, no, I was just a free kid. I just, just loved life and had fun with it.
You talked about something, and I want to refer it to the 2020 games. You said that in high school you just got a little bit lost and didn't really know what you wanted to do. And then you also talked about the heartbreak of missing the selection at the 2020 games. What was it in both instances that like ignited the perseverance or the passion to want to step back in and decide, you know what, I'm going to do this or I'm going to go after this?
I think the first one, when I was 18, I was a bit lost because I was going through a really hard time. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I was just sort of, I had a lot going for me. I, you know, obviously had talent, I was a smart kid, you know, did well in high school, but mm-hmm. I grew up in a, you know, a bit of a broken home. And mm-hmm. so I didn't really have, I guess, yeah, I felt loved and I had self-worth and everything, but I was lost. I just didn't know, like, you know, especially when you grow up in the church, you sort of think, what does God want from me for my life, you know, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And, like, I just didn't really know.
Yeah.
And I had a few radical experiences in my personal life where I realized that, you know, there actually isn't a right or wrong answer. God just goes with you wherever you go. And so you've got to follow where your heart's desires.
Yeah.
And I've always loved athletics. I've loved the feeling of it. There's nothing quite as pure and euphoric as the feeling of like a personal best and doing well, because you can't cheat it. You know, you can cheat a team sport, you know, but you can't cheat track and field, especially a heptathlon. You've got to do the work and it's all on you. Like your mind, body and soul have to align to do the performance. And so I always believed I had something in me for athletics because I always had a big desire for it. And I always loved dreaming big, you know. To me, the heptathlon and number 7 was pretty significant. And so I just felt like in my heart that that's what I was supposed to do. I think it was, you know, probably, yeah, I'd definitely say it was God in that time.
Yeah.
And I think the process of heptathlon too and training for it helped bring me out of a bad place, because, you know, you stop focusing on, you know, bad things. You start focusing on what can I do today to get better at this sport. You know, sport also helps you, I guess, with your mental health and like your emotional health, and you know, generally you have good coaches around you that are helping you bring you through life as well. So initially at that time it was that.
Yeah.
And I think the one missing out on Tokyo, to me that was just like a reality check. Like, you know, I got so involved in my athletics, it was like, this can be taken away from you very quickly for reasons completely outside of your control.
Mm.
You know, you're not put on this earth for sport.
Yeah.
Sport is an expression of who you are, and it's a beautiful privilege and a beautiful thing to do, but there's so many more important things. And I realized during that time that, like, you know, it just wasn't everything, and I completely changed my perspective on it. And made me better. Someone told me this saying during that time, like, I've always believed I was meant to do athletics. I just have known that, especially since I was 18. But during the COVID time, someone said to me, because I was injured too, like I got really close to like a one national championship. I was about to go to Europe, you know, and finish off my qualification for the games.
Yeah.
And then everything shut down. And then I got really injured and then I got locked out of my state. So it was just possible, like every possible obstacle was in my way.
Mm.
And then someone said to me, it's like, if you really think you're that good, you're going to get through this too. You know, there's that point where it's like, if you really think you're good, you got to understand you can get through obstacles as well. And I realized too, it's not about, you know, what you get in the outcome of it. It's who you become in the process.
Yeah.
And you know, that forging in the fire that as you walk out that journey. So it was, I learned just how good I could be during COVID, to be honest, because I had every possible, I guess, bit of resistance against me in that time, not just in athletics, but in a personal life as well. So.
Yeah. Wow. It's a great testament, not just to who you are in the journey that you're walking, but I think a bit of a challenge for all of us as too, who might be going through something harder, you know, who have that resistance as we try to walk out the journey that God's laid before us. So, I mean, good on you for all that you have put your faith into and your perseverance. But I guess in the same sense, you know, for those that are listening, tuning in and wanting to go after something and have that resistance, what would you say? What would you say to the youth here in your community who want to do something like this as well, to be able to keep persevering in the same way?
I think you got to know the reason I was able to persevere is because I could actually really identify why I was doing it.
Mm.
Right. And I broke it down a lot. Like, you know, for instance, for athletics? Was I doing it because of the feeling I got from other people recognizing me for being good? You know, that dopamine and that those feel good. Or was I doing it because I really just wanted to see how good I could be, and I really wanted to be able to express myself and my full potential, and feel that feeling of fulfillment? I think when you know your why and you have a greater vision for what you're doing outside of just the doing of it, that's how you can persevere. And you'll really know if it's what you're supposed to do, because you'll start to see the growth in yourself in the resistance. You'll start to not recognize yourself, and you'll start to say, oh, is that it? Hit me with more. Like, you know, it's you're going to see it. And I think that was it. It's like a process of becoming, and also of being self-aware, and in those quiet times when you're like praying and, you know, convening with God, you start to listen to your thoughts, and you start to see a change in the way that you talk to yourself and the things that you're able to do. So know your why and have a greater vision, and in the whole process, make sure too you're finding those quiet times to, you know, really self-reflect and pray and make sure that your heart and attitude toward things is right.
Yeah, a great reminder and some great advice. Thank you, Tori. I do want to jump in and start talking about the games and what this journey has looked like in the lead up. So I think first and foremost, many acquiring minds might want to know what your training regimen has been like in the lead up to the games.
Oh, it's been incredibly intense. I train every day. Even on my rest day, I have to go for a long jog and do like some mobility stuff. So I do heptathlon, so it's 7 events I got to train for. I do four track sessions a week, 4 technical sessions a week, 3 jogs, and 3 gym sessions.
Wow.
And so that's been my life for the last 5 years. And then for the games itself, obviously you don't train as much as you're coming into a competition. You train, I still have as many sessions, but it's more like shorter and sweeter and more intense, like it's more quality stuff. And yeah, stuff every day still. So I'll train every day up until 2 days before the games.
Wow. And in all of that, what would you say is the most challenging aspect of preparing?
The most challenging aspect is like it just being able to like switch on and off. Like, it's a very consuming event. There's a lot to focus on. There's a lot of moving parts, so you got to find the time to like switch off and like be okay with doing nothing. I think that's the hardest part. Yeah,
that's good. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, you have this amazing story and this amazing journey, and to be able to hear how you got started and where you're at today is inspiring. But I am assuming that you haven't done this alone. So who's been your biggest supporters throughout your athletic career?
Well, at different points, there's been different people who've had huge impacts. I mean, initially it was my dad. Yeah. My dad was a huge supporter. He taught me how to high jump in the backyard. And then, you know, growing up, mum too, through high school, was really supportive. You know, she really tried to push me. She wouldn't let me, I guess, be lazy with it. And then, you know, my first coach who, you know, coached me, he always said, he was the first person who made me believe I could do something special with it, you know, and go international and all that. And then, you know, I've gone to train in Brisbane, and then I got a new Olympic coach there. And now I have 2 Olympic coaches that I work with, and they just been incredible to me. Like, they've seen my talent, because I've walked a very, you know, an unconventional path into the game. A lot of people didn't think I'd make it, which I don't understand why, because they're just not looking hard enough. But yeah, we made it, and we made it in a very impressive way. So yeah, and then also like my close friends and family. So like when I had a really hard time through the, I guess, COVID period and other times as well, like it's actually a blessing in disguise, because you what happens is when you get really good at something and you start to be known for it, you start to attract more people around you, and but you don't realize it at the time, but they're only there because there's something that you give them because of your position.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're going through hard times, you get to see who's actually there when you're not anything special on paper, right? You know? And so I have a really, really beautiful close circle of friends and family that I adore. And yeah, so there's been so many people behind the scenes that have really helped build me up as a person to be the athlete I am.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you have had so many people to journey this with. I can't imagine that the journey has been easy. So to be able to have a good community, I think, is always good. Now, for the upcoming games in Paris, what are your goals?
I'm in the best shape of my life. I have trained incredibly well. I'm healthy. I feel something special in me that I could do. So, I mean, my main goal, of course, yeah. any athlete is a personal best. Like, I'd love to put together the best performance of my life and get a score, you know, that's the highest I've ever scored before. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and I think so that's my main thing. If I focus on one event at a time, that's sure to come together. And then, yeah, I don't really place goals on placings or medals or anything like that. I think that's the wrong mindset to have. You just got to focus on the process and see where that lands you, because I can't control what these other girls do. I can't control myself. So,
Yeah, good. You had mentioned that the games that you're preparing for, the specific ones that you're doing, they are the most difficult events, combined mm-hmm. seven track and field events. Does it add pressure in knowing that you are doing this specific race?
No, it just makes me excited. Like, you know, it just makes me feel like, because, like, you know, some people say, you know, people really rate sprinters, right? Or they're like, oh, this person runs 100 meter. I'm like, yeah, but I run a 200 and I throw a javelin and I do high jump and I'm actually pretty good at it. So, you know, it's just, a lot of people don't understand my event because it is very niche and it is, you know, it's very hard to get into to do properly. Yeah. So I don't feel the pressure. I feel the excitement. And I really hope that I can showcase the event, you know, to Australia when I compete and I get another generation of girls coming through, because I think it is a beautiful event because it is based on numbers, right?
Yeah.
And there's so many things to work on. There's so many areas. Like, if you're not doing well in your running, you can work on your long jump. Or if you're not doing well in long jump, you can work on your throws. Like, there's so many aspects of it that you can constantly try and train at and improve on. And which, it's like life, right? You know, if one thing's not going well, just work on another thing. And it's like a beautiful process to learn self-improvement and the process and one thing at a time.
Yeah, I do love hearing that. And I think it makes us, you know, as your community here in Townsville, a little bit more excited for you too, to know that you have this excitement, that you're going after what you've trained so hard for. How does it feel to represent North Queensland and Australia at such a prestigious event?
It's pretty special. It's pretty special. I think it's, the green and gold, the uniform looks great. I will say that. you know, especially nice to come from North Queensland, to be honest. I think North Queensland actually is a great breeding place for good athletes, especially in the winter. Like, a lot of athletes in Australia travel overseas, and I myself have done it, traveled overseas to do winter competitions because it's summer in Europe.
Yeah.
But, you know, back in Townsville, you know, you could train there during the winter and it's perfect weather, you know. You know, next year I've got world champs in Tokyo, and I tell you what, I would base myself in North Queensland at that time.
So, yeah, I don't blame you at all.
No, I think it's really great privilege. I think Australia is a wonderful country. I'm blessed to have grown up here and be born in Australia. So,
we're so excited for you, Tori. I have one last question and then I'll let you get back to training or whatever your day looks like. I was just wondering, as someone who is representing North Queensland and Australia, what message do you hope to convey to young aspiring athletes from here in your community?
I would say, don't be afraid to dream big, but at the same time, if you're going to dream big, correct your attitude towards hard work real fast.
Mm.
Because if you don't work hard, and you don't embrace that, you're going to suffer a lot. So, you know, dream big, but match it with hard work.
Thank you so much, Tori. I appreciate your encouragement and advice to the young youth in our community. But we are rooting for you. We're cheering you on. We cannot wait to see you on television or wherever we get to watch at the games in Paris. And we're praying for you as well.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.